On this episode of the Edge Podcast, ClearEdge CEO and founder Leslie Vickery welcomes Delibra Wesley, COO at the Delta Companies and founder of the professional development and lifestyle blog Goals with Delibra. Delibra shares the story of her 14-year journey with the Delta Companies, a medical staffing solutions organization, and how her unrelenting focus on her career path helped drive her to the C-suite. She also discusses her mindful approach to time management and goal setting, her work to support diversity and inclusion, and why we all need to follow the mantra to put our own oxygen masks on first. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery. I am the CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing, and it is my absolute pleasure to welcome Delibra Wesley to the Edge Podcast, currently COO of the Delta Companies. Welcome, Delibra.
Thank you for having me, Leslie. I'm super excited to be here.
Of course. Well, we're thrilled to have you. And Delibra, we first met through a really good mutual friend, Erica Heisen, president of Workin. She had encouraged me to reach out to you as we were working on some DE&I initiatives. And that said, though, I feel like we were kind of destined to meet as another good mutual friend also brought us together. And that's Eric Gregg with Clearly Rated. And since meeting, I feel like we are by each other's sides all the time. So we've been part of two panels together, like I mentioned, part of a DE&I group together. And getting to know you, Delibra, I can really see firsthand why you have such a huge fan club. And by fan club, I mean you're near 4,000 followers on Instagram, which is probably more than that by now, where you go by Goals with Delibra. So I highly encourage everyone to check you out on Insta, Goals with Delibra, and over 7,500 followers on LinkedIn. So before we talk about building a personal brand, which I definitely want to cover with you here today. You were also just named to Staffing Industry Analyst Global Power 150 Women in Staffing list. So let's get to know you better. For background, please tell us about your company, which you've been with for nearly 14 years, and how you went from a verifications coordinator to COO.
Yeah, I'd love to tell you. My company, the Delta Companies, we're a healthcare staffing company out of Dallas. We focus on locums, so temporary staffing for physicians, perm placement, like permanent job placement for all specialties in the healthcare sector. And we have a travel division that focuses on rehab and allied specialties, such as speech-language pathologists. My journey from verifications coordinator to COO, it's been quite an adventure. I will say that the 14 years that I've been at Delta is my second stint. I worked there originally 4 years prior, but I loved it so much, and I loved the founder and what he stood for and the company that I quickly came back. The grass was definitely not greener. And so, but the 14 years, I came back as a verification coordinator to help the travel side of the business grow and use the knowledge that I had for credentialing in nursing. Throughout the years, I've been very, very focused on my career path. I take constructive criticism very well. So over the years, step by step, stage by stage is what we call our career path at my company. I would constantly ask for feedback, constantly ask, what do I need to do in order to be qualified for the next position? And that led me all the way to COO. I just remember starting the journey. My goal was to be a vice president. And then when I hit that stage a few years back, I thought, man, I still have more in me. There's more I can do, and I can make a bigger impact in the whole enterprise. So here I am, COO, in a position that I love.
Well, I have to say, I believe the CEO and founder you're referencing is probably Jeff Bowling. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Jeff Bowling is the founder of the Delta Companies, and most of my leadership development, my goal setting, just the tenacity and persistence, it comes from him. I've learned so much from him over the years that I've easily tweaked, made my own, but he is a great part of my foundation for sure. He taught me everything I know about staffing and healthcare.
Well, we are a big fan of Jeff's as well. I am personally, and us as an agency, have really enjoyed getting to know Jeff over the years. I was just reading about his epic style of leadership. In fact, just yesterday, an article as I was doing some other background work. So anyway, one of the things I love about hearing your story is how you take constructive criticism very well and always ask for feedback. That is not something that a lot of people can say. So I think it's important sometimes times that we have to really honor our past to embrace that future. So as you look back on your career, what is the one thing that you wish someone would have told you that would have really been helpful to you as you continued to accelerate and taking on more of these leading roles?
Honestly, when it comes to what someone could have told me in the past that would have helped, I always take the mindset that there's a season for everything and everything happens the way it's supposed to. And everything worked out just perfectly to put me in the position I'm in right now, which is a pretty great position. So from that perspective, I don't really think about it too much. Like, what was it that if I could tap DeLibra on the shoulder 10 years prior, what would I tell her? But if I had to pick something, it's probably what my mantra is now, is about not wasting time. There's definitely times in my past where I may have gotten a little stuck on something that in the long run wouldn't matter. What someone's opinion of me may have been at that time, or working on things that weren't going to align me closer to my goals. So if there's anything, it would be that. I've learned, especially as I get older, the more you can condense time and get the necessary feedback that you need and go run toward asking the tough questions, the better. So I live every day with making myself a bit uncomfortable and pushing myself to do things and asking questions that may be tough. I wish maybe I could have learned that a little earlier in my career.
That said, DeLibra, I feel like everything you mention as you talk about your path to COO are typically things that people would have wished they would have known, like being able to take constructive feedback or criticism very well and always ask for feedback or don't waste time. You knew those things already. So you were definitely ahead of the game and the curve as you were kind of growing up in your career, so to speak. Dealing with challenges is a part of life and business, but your biggest trials can often lead to your most valuable triumphs. So at a personal level, we've all experienced how essential it is to be able to rise up in the face of adversity. But perhaps you could share a time when your confidence has wavered and how you've had to overcome your own self-doubt to keep rising. And I mention this because I often work with a lot of women in business and technology, and confidence is something that always rises up to the top. In fact, we did a survey for a group I'm part of called ARA. It's Attract, Retain, and Advance Women in Technology. And every year it was ranked as one of the highest things that both men and women wish they could gift women, was the gift of confidence. So maybe tell us a story of where maybe you've had some of your own self-doubt and how you overcame that.
I think maybe, you know, we mentioned Jeff already. Maybe he has a lot to do with the fact that I don't struggle as much with that. I feel like he instilled in me to live in that space of being uncomfortable. So I would say that I don't really have one thing that stands out. But of course, probably like most women, most of us, we struggle with self-confidence from time to time. I hate the feeling of being uncomfortable, but I've learned that that's where I grow and where I've gained the most opportunities. And so when I realize that I'm nervous, maybe I feel like I'm not qualified for something, or maybe I think someone's going to think that I don't have what it takes, and I get a little nervous or upset and I have like a weird feeling in the pit of my stomach, I know that is the very time that I need to move and push myself and keep going. Because that yucky feeling that you have is where you should find yourself very frequently. And so I don't have just one scenario. It happens to me often. I think we all have to struggle and fight through that. There are times that I doubt myself to this very day, but I just push through it.
You turn off that evil DJ, we often call it, that voice inside of our head who keeps playing that same song over and over of things that we can't do, but we have to find where that comes from and kind of shut it down, because you're right. If the want that you have, I was just listening to a podcast with Dolly Parton, actually, and she had said, if the want that you have is greater than the fear that you're feeling, you've got to focus on the want that you have. So I can appreciate that.
Oh, great. Yes.
Very good old Dolly Parton. I know. Always coming through. In your opinion and personal experience, so you talk a lot about Jeff being a great mentor. Well, now, DeLibra, you also are a great mentor to many. So as you're thinking about key habits that enable people to be resilient and thrive and give them the ability to lead their teams and enact positive cultural change, what are some of those habits that you believe people should have to make that happen?
I think that if people can find a way to be authentic, that's the one thing I've never wavered on, is being myself and show people around you that it's okay for them to be authentic too. That is a natural leader and you will rise. If you're in an organization or a situation that makes you feel inferior or you need to change who you fundamentally are, I have women in my organization sometimes that approach me and like, I think I need to change the way I speak or the way I stand. Be who you are, because people can sense authenticity. And if the people that you are leading sense that you're not genuine or you're insincere, you will never be able to lead a really strong team. A leader, in my opinion, the pillar, the foundation of leadership is trust. And I don't mean like, is this an honest person or are they morally sound? Those things are great and important for sure. But I mean, do you follow through on your commitments? Do you say something and really do it? If you tell someone, you make a promise, I'm going to follow up with you, I'll get this figured out. Do you circle back and close the loop on communication? Do you honor the absent if someone's not there and you won't say anything negative about that person? Because you should never say anything about anyone behind their back that you wouldn't say to their face. I've spent my career talking to other professionals and they may say something that, wow, that's kind of hurtful. You don't want to say things about people that people then wonder, like, well, what should she say about me when I'm not around? So you always honor the absent. People have to be able to trust you. And be an advocate, be a sponsor, be an ally. Pull up a chair and ask people that normally don't have a seat to the table to join in. And it's great to speak for someone when they're not in the room, but it's so much better if you can open the door, pull up a chair, and let them speak for themselves.
Oh my goodness. Delibra, honor the absent. I love it. And the idea of giving people that opportunity to come in when sometimes they don't have that seat at the table, that is exactly what we need to do. And you mentioned the word sponsor, and being a sponsor is really key. It's really the difference between giving someone that advice, like, oh, you know what, next time you should be at that table and saying something, to opening that door and giving them that opportunity. So thank you for sharing that. Well, Delibra, real recently, you and I were actually on a DE&I panel for ASA that Eric Gregg and Clearly Rated had set up. And I know we got super positive feedback, which was exciting. That said, a lot of people wanted to hear about actually setting up a DE&I program, because companies today are certainly taking it much more seriously and looking at what they should do. And I know it's much more complicated, or it can be, than how I'm kind of portraying it here right now. But I'd love to hear about your journey and setting this up for the Delta companies, and maybe advice that you have for companies just getting started. And I mentioned that it's more complicated than just step one, step two, step three, but how can people just simply get buy-in, get started, and see impact?
Yeah, it is complicated. And I think the big thing that you have to do is not give up, because sometimes you think, I don't know if I can move the needle here. But if you can just stick with it, you'll eventually see a return on that. We're in our second year of our diversity council that I chair for the Delta companies. And it came about because it's an interesting story. It wasn't from me. I didn't spur this on at all. The CEO of the company at the time, we have like a president's club. We call it the Platinum Club, where the top producers in the company go on an annual trip with the CEO and his wife. And so the producers take their spouse. So his wife told him, hey, you know, you need to make sure you know a little something about the wives that are going to be on this trip. You need to know their names, maybe a little bit about them, so then when we have conversations with them, it's not, you know, from scratch. So he comes into the office and he's like, okay, I need to get a list of all the spouses and I want to know this. What he quickly realized was that the majority of the spouses were men, because the top performers in our company are women. And so he came to me and he's like, you know, I realize that we have so many top producing women, yet we don't have very many women that take leadership roles in the organization. Why is that? And so I went to work on figuring out why that issue exists. So as far as steps go, I interviewed the top producing people within the organization personally, and I asked them questions like, why not leadership? And I wrote down all those answers and I compiled that list. At the same time, I worked with HR to get a better understanding of our demographics. And so I took those answers, and those answers helped me to start a system, start developing what we should do. So the very first step would always be gather the data, know the facts, because the demographics tell the story within the Delta companies that we do a really good job at hiring and having a pretty good mix, but the bottleneck for us is women going into leadership. And so knowing that, that's what I thought would be the best place for us to focus. But second, especially with all of the social unrest this year, we decided to start a subcommittee of the council. The subcommittee comprises of employees that are willing to volunteer their time to discuss issues and how we can address them as an organization. And it could be a few people or it could be a lot. I mean, we were surprised by how many people really wanted to jump in. So the subcommittee brought a different view to things for me. They brought a lot of things that I would consider kind of low-hanging fruit. Because the women in leadership, that's a long-term initiative, and there's a lot of moving parts to that to fix that. That's a system that's broken. But the subcommittee has instant ideas that we could implement right away that would show people that we care and we're trying and we're going to continue to work on things. So, for instance, the Delta companies did not observe Martin Luther King Day. If you wanted to be off on MLK Day, you use a vacation day. This year in 2021 coming around, that will no longer be the case. It's a company-wide holiday. Our employees were so appreciative of that, and that doesn't really rock much of a boat, but the employees realized, wow, okay, we're honoring this holiday. We also implemented cultural PTO days where people can take a vacation day that's paid by the company for something that means a lot to you, whether it's pride, whether it's religion, whatever the case. There's not a lot of parameters around what you can use a holiday for. It's just make sure you let your leader know 2 weeks in advance you're going to take this day. And so employees love that idea. And a lot of these things floated from the employees themselves. We also addressed sprucing up our dress code to make it more inclusive. So things like that are small things that you can do and make a really quick impact while you work on the bigger issues. And when you prioritize, I say you focus on those small ones right away so the organization knows that you're serious and that you care. But then the longer term, harder things, like things that we're looking at are training, onboarding. We're developing a mentor program so that we can build the bench with future leaders that more fits the demographics of the organization. And then we're pairing those mentors up with frontline leaders or the middle level managers so that they can have exposure to leadership, start coaching individuals. And then the leaders and the executives are going to do trainings with those mentors so that they get this extra exposure that they aren't used to seeing or having. And that way our bench is set up with a great deal of diversity and we have a cool bench set up to pick from in the future. So that's our big initiative. And you can't take on a lot of big things at once. So you have to prioritize and figure out where it's best to try to move the needle. And for the Delta companies right now, it is women in leadership. So that's my priority. But we've done several smaller things and we are continuing to do that. And the committee meets every month to go over things that we can do.
Well, one of the very first things you said that to me is one of the most important things is that you had buy-in at the very outset of what you were doing, which is a struggle that a lot of companies have. But for the executive to experience that, yeah, that's incredible.
I think that my situation has been unique, but I'll tell you where my buy-in struggle is, and it's tough. The buy-in is in the middle. I think you can convince executives with numbers. You can show them that this is the best thing for the organization. The more diverse the board is, the more diverse the executive team, the leaders, the more profitable the company will be. There's so many studies out there that just say that numbers are numbers. I mean, it's fact. Employees are more socially aware and they just want change and they want to be able to come into an organization and know what we stand for and be able to be themselves and be their whole self. And so it was easy with the employees. It was easy to get their buy-in. It's the middle where you're maybe a frontline leader, just starting your career in leadership, and you hear, well, man, there's not a lot of minorities or women on the leadership team. So if every time we have an opening, we're going to fill it with one of them. This is going to mean less opportunity for me. So the conversations that I've been having with the middle is we're focusing on a lot of training about why it's important, why we have to do this. And also the discussion is not to take away something from you, but how do we add more? As we grow, can we add another seat here? add, so that people aren't so focused on this is going to hurt me. And then they are also going to be incentivized by having these mentors helping them with their teams. So it'll help them as well. So the idea is to focus on the middle level of managers so that they don't feel like there's not going to be an opportunity for me to advance. And when I say them, at the Delta companies right now, it is white men. The majority of the middle is white men. The majority of the top is white men. But how do I work with them to make them understand that women in leadership, minorities in leadership, LGBTQ in leadership, it's all needed. And so that is the battle. So I have implemented several things, and now it's time for me to just see if the needle moves, because I don't like quotas. No one really likes quotas. You don't want to feel like you're a quota. You don't want a quota forced on you, but I'm going to watch, and if the gauge doesn't improve and the needle doesn't move, then I have to dig in again and readjust. That means that I'm still off somewhere. So that's where we are now, and I think we're really on a good path to making a huge difference in leadership at the Delta Company.
Well, thank you for being so transparent with the story. And I love that you kind of broke it down in the sense where you can have the short term, you know, get some quick wins in there to really make an impact and get some buy-in to what you're doing, and then focus on those long-term initiatives. And, you know, they're not easy conversations, but need to happen. And what a brilliant way to put it with the ad piece. That's something that I bet almost every person listening to this conversation will walk away with, is finding a way that it's not taking away. It's actually adding and creating more opportunity even for that person.
Bigger tables, more seats at the table. That's what we have to do.
I love it. Thank you for that viewpoint. Well, let's talk about your personal brand, Delibra, because it certainly has taken off. And we recently had the author Erica Keswin join Thrive, which was a women in staffing event through the American Staffing Association. And she said two things that really resonated with me. Basically, how are you honoring the most important relationship? And that's the relationship with yourself. And then also just honoring your schedule. So those two things. You put everything out there to pull people in, Delibra, whether you're talking about your own wellness and weight loss journey, which is incredible, or motivational quotes, which I read every single day. You host webinars talking about difficult discussions with your bestie around racism and so much more. Tell us how you manage all things life. You take care of yourself, your family, your career, the people you mentor, and those you don't even realize you're impacting, but you are. How do you manage things?
I always say that I've figured out what my superpower is, and it is planning. I organize and I pay very close attention to my time, probably more than most people think about. I hate to waste my time. I hate to the point where I organize and think through everything just about. I understand that some week my job's going to require more from me. There's just things that happen and I have to commit more to work at this point. And then other weeks, my family needs me more there. Maybe home needs attention. And I always cut myself slack about that. Life ebbs and flows. And I think a lot of time, especially working mothers or working women, we have a lot of mom guilt. I don't really suffer from that often, because when I am with my son, he has my 100% focus and my attention. When I'm at work, same thing. I give the Delta Companies everything. And my son understands that the Delta Companies is a part of who I am. And that's the best version of mama, versus me feeling so torn and upset because I can't be with him every moment of the day. But when I am with him, he is the center of my world. And when I decided I had to put Delibra first, which was really hard, I've always said it. You always say it, like, I am the most important. But we break promises to ourselves more than anyone else. When I decided, okay, this is enough, I've got to put D first, it took a lot for me to realize that honestly, putting me first was better for the Delta Companies and better for my family, because I decided to focus more on my personal wellness. It's made me such a better mother. I have more energy. I'm able to focus longer at work. I don't get so tired halfway through the workday because I did make this switch. It's funny that I thought me saying, no, I can't answer emails right now because I've got to go get on my elliptical or I need to go for a run, was going to hurt the business somehow. It hasn't. If anything, it's afforded the opportunity for people to figure things out. I've actually released myself from being so much in the weeds of everything and empower my employees more. So that makes the organization better. And in turn, I'm just a stronger person and I'm more whole and complete because I have switched these things around. And the whole, you know, like, how do I manage it all? The goals with Delibra has been awesome. It's been amazing because I didn't realize how much I needed that. It's kind of like journaling in public, but I also love helping people. So this year especially has been extremely difficult with COVID. Our chairman of the board passed away unexpectedly, and I know it's all of us have gone through a lot. So it's actually been like a highlight. I've enjoyed it, and I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, and it just kind of morphed, which has been awesome because I plan everything. This kind of took off in a way that I couldn't plan for.
It's truly incredible what you've created as a community. And even I was telling you this earlier today, just sitting in on one of your sessions that you actually hosted with our team around goal setting and planning already has stuck in my head. And that really is, you know, aside from just honoring your schedule and your time and just taking advantage of the time you have, but also just putting yourself first and that's okay. And, you know, depending on how you were raised and what you were taught and different things that go on in your own mind with that, we often don't put ourselves first. And I ask myself all the time, well, why wouldn't you? To your point, the better you, the better it is for, you know, everyone around you.
It took me many years to realize that, okay, I have to put me first. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually working out to be for the best.
It is. It's like they say on the plane, right? Put the oxygen mask on you first and then everyone else around you. Because if you can't breathe, they can't either. So you've got to take care of you and to take care of those around you. So how, I guess, Delibra, when you think about how much you've put yourself out there personally, how has it also helped professionally? And how do you balance kind of what you put out there publicly?
I'm pretty much an open book. So the balance part, I think that's probably why people relate to me because I don't think I've hidden much. I may be careful about how I say it or when I say it, but there aren't many things that are private about my life. You know, like in our goal setting session, I showed you guys everything, like my financial plan, my boyfriend, my kids. I pretty much am an open book. And I think that has helped me a lot with leadership as well. People trust me because of that. But personally, you know, I told you I started it mainly because of my weight loss journey and people were asking me so many questions. And so I thought it would be so much easier if I could answer these questions at once. So I started Goals with Delibra on Instagram, Facebook. I have a blog and it morphed into diversity and equity because as things happened in the world, I started blogging about it. And so from that, with the professional side, this year has been amazing. Joining the group with you ladies and being able to speak and help with ASA, all of that in some way or another morphed from Goals with Delibra. So it's definitely helped me professionally, and it's given me a bit of confidence. It's funny, I was telling my sister, I was like, man, this blog, people just assume I'm an expert. And she's like, Dee, you are.
Well, that is really, really great to hear. And I really believe that's one of the reasons why we hit it off so well is just we're both that same way. You get us who we are, regardless of if it's at home or at work, we're the same person. And to your point, that builds a lot of trust with people. So I'm, for one, happy that you have been putting yourself out there more and more because it's definitely benefiting, I guess, selfishly me and therefore those around me and our team. So thank you for that. Well, you have a favorite saying too, which I also love. It's if you really want something, you will find a way. If you don't, you will find an excuse. So I'd love for you to maybe share a personal story where you really wanted something and found a way and how others could consider the same.
So with this, I would say my thing that I really wanted, and I wanted it for years, and it just came to fruition this year for me is when it clicked, and it's around all what we've been discussing. It's my weight loss. Every year I will set a goal. It's something that I wanted to work on, and I would set the goal, and I don't know, it's like, maybe if I make a mistake on my weight loss halfway through the week, I'll just say, forget it. I'll start again next week. I always really wanted it, for whatever reason, I couldn't quite figure out how to map it out and plan it out, and it clicked this year. Certain things have happened, of course, like it was starting to affect my health. It was starting to affect my ability to keep up with my 8-year-old. And I would look at pictures of me and I didn't really see me. I'm like, this isn't me. This doesn't look like me. But it was me. And so I had to come to terms with that. And I've done something this year that everyone else is saying they're gaining weight with COVID. It allowed me the opportunity. So I think we're working from home. I used to have to drive into work and I got all that time back. I told you how important time is to me. So if I don't have to be in my car, what could I be doing with this time? So I work out. And then I applied the same planning tools that I have used in my life and work to my food. And I plan everything out. I plan when I'm going to work out. I plan to work out 7 days a week. And I know people are like, why would you plan 7 days a week? You shouldn't work out that much. Because if I plan 5 days a week, I'm probably only going to get 3 in. So I plan 7. So when life happens, I still hit 5 days a week. And so just by changing those things and focusing so much on it this year, I thought it was like the number one thing that I wanted to really work on. And I've lost 93 pounds so far. My goal that I set for myself was to be sitting at this point in the year at 60 pounds down. And I lost 93. And so I still have a ways to go. I'm definitely still on this journey, but I'm very proud of it. And it is one thing that I just had to figure out a way. I mean, most of my life, I've never been really happy with my weight. And I was talking to my best friend about it. You know, we talk about everything. And she was asking me, like, when did it click for me? I realized it was the summer that I was 9. So that's a lifetime struggle. And I'm just now getting to a point where I'm happy with my body, which is kind of crazy, but...
Well, so, you have a whole lifetime ahead of you to love yourself. But what I love is this excuse piece of it, that it's so easy to find an excuse. It's so easy. Why is it so hard to just make it happen? And it's in our heads, too. So I really applaud you. First of all, congratulations. 90 plus pounds. That's incredible.
I will make an excuse for myself, but I will just kill myself to do what I promised to everyone else. So that was a big mind shift. It's like, no, if you're going to promise it to yourself, you're going to keep your promise to yourself. I make mistakes. I'm by far not perfect. But instead of me giving up for the week, I wake up the next morning. It's a new morning starting over. Whatever happened yesterday, I told you, I love Oreos. So if I broke down and ate those Oreos, it's a new day today. I'm not going to eat Oreos today. Instead of letting it turn into a whole week of me not following my plan, it's a day-to-day battle, but I understand now that's going to be my battle. That's what I'm going to have to fight every day. But I've realized that it's important enough for me to fight every day.
Yeah. Well, you are important enough. And I love that. We have to start, all of us, putting ourselves first, because it makes a big difference. And to your point, it helps you just be a stronger mom and friend and all of those other things. But most importantly, it just makes you feel better. And that is so, so important. Well, one of the things you talk often about, and actually was one of the reasons you met with our team, was perhaps if you see it, you can do it. So get past some of those excuses. If you can visualize something and put a plan together, and you really swear by vision boards and having goals. We've heard you talk a lot about goals here today as well, and how they keep you grounded in all things life. In fact, you take a weekend a year. I remember you telling me this the first time we met, and I was thinking to myself, when and where am I going to be by yourself? And you create a vision board. And now you're actually hosting workshops, helping others set up their own. I haven't ever created one. I can't wait to create one with you in January. Tell us what inspired you to start your process, and really how other people can get started, and then just kind of the positive outcomes you've experienced by doing it.
Well, I mentioned before, you know, that Jeff Bowling, the founder of Delta Companies, he taught me his goal setting methods. And he was by far the most successful person, especially at the time, that I knew. And I knew it worked for him. I followed his method until I was confident for years. And I've taught my teams the same method. I've tweaked it over time to what works best for me. And then after that, I started vision boards with my operations team a few years ago, and they stuck. So So what I like to do is we goal set and do vision boards in January, and then we do check-ins at the end of June or July. And what's always so eye-opening was we would do vision boards and everybody would hang them in their cube. I would hang mine in my office. So when you walk up to their desk, we all made a point to talk to them about it. Like, okay, so what's going on with this one? And by June and July, by doing that, people were amazed at how much they've actually completed because you're talking about it constantly. So it's in your psyche. You're looking at it constantly. People are pointing it out. And I make it a point to walk around the floor and ask people, hey, so what's going on with this? Are you saving up what you were supposed to for your house or things of that nature? And then we all get together halfway through the year and check in with each other. And you know you're going to have that check-in. So that accountability helps too. So it really morphed from the Delta companies. I've just done it for years with my employees. It's morphed, but it starts from years ago sitting in a training with Jeff Bowling on how to set a goal.
Well, Jeff is going to be excited to hear about this podcast because we certainly mentioned him a lot. And, you know, we talk a lot about mentors and sponsors and leaders who have influenced our lives. And it's so nice to hear you talk about stories like that. And the wonderful thing for me, though, Delibra, is to also see how you pay that forward. You spend so much time putting into practice what you have learned yourself and then now paying that forward to others. It's such a gift. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that with so many. So as we wrap up the podcast, Delibra, I'd love to do a quick rapid fire session with you and ask you a couple questions. Are you up for it?
Ready.
All right, let's go. All right, turning point that changed your life forever.
I wish I could talk about this for a whole hour, but I know I can't. So rapidly, my mom finishing her degree to be an engineer and getting a job and moving us to Texas. We lived in Arkansas, and where we lived, there weren't a lot of opportunities for her. So she literally picked us up out of poverty, and she is my hero.
Aw, and you said your mom, is that right?
My mom, yes.
Aw, that's so sweet. Well, we'll have to do a whole podcast on the impact of our moms in our lives, but that's incredible. And you're right, that's a big question for a rapid fire question. So thank you for sharing that. Proudest professional moment.
Hands down, my proudest moment wouldn't be of me. It's the success of my leaders. I can't even explain it. The way that I feel and how happy and proud I am of them. They're becoming thought leaders in our industry, winning awards, sitting on committees and boards. It makes me so proud.
Okay, favorite part of being a mother. This is another one that could be part of our mom's podcast.
I would say my favorite thing is, I don't know if it's a part, but a thing that I look forward to and I love the most, you know, in sales organizations, we have KPIs, key performance indicators. So this is my KPI as a mom. I try very hard to never miss bedtime. I can't say never. I mean, I travel, and a lot of times I'll try to arrange my travel to where I'm home by bedtime. I love bedtime. I love the ritual of it. My son looks forward to it. And my favorite thing is tucking him in at night. And it was the same with my oldest. He won't let me tuck him anymore. But when we were on vacation, I tried.
Well, I agree with you. I tell Grayson all the time that my favorite part of the day is just reading books to him at night and talking and sharing stories and being silly. And right now he'll still say, Mommy, will you stay and snuggle with me? And while my husband thinks he's totally playing me, I'm like, I don't care. He's 4 and there's going to be a point where he will no longer ask me to do that. So I will totally do that.
I still try to get in there. I'll crawl in the bed with him. It's getting to the point where he's like, okay, Mom, good night. But I'm holding as long as I can.
I know. We have to. All right. Best piece of advice you've ever received.
We have this slogan at Delta that we say all the time. We say, run to conflict. I would say that running to conflict, running to issues and addressing them the moment that you can think clearly, because sometimes things happen and you know that you didn't breathe about it and take a moment, but don't stew on things. Don't let things ruminate. If you feel that something's not quite right, address it and do it quickly. I think that has probably been the key to my career path. It's been the key to my leadership. I try to make sure my employees always trust me and know that I have their best interests at heart. But if something goes wrong and if something's not right, I run to conflict.
I'm putting you on speed dial.
you know, the book we talk about a lot, which is How Women Rise. And one of the biggest challenges that women face is ruminating. And I think you just solved it, because a lot of times we like to avoid conflict, but you run to conflict. And I have to tell you, you saying that has really resonated with me, because I ruminate. I'm up at 3 a.m., 4 a.m, worried about something. And usually it has to do with something around conflict. So thank you for that. I need to do a better job of that myself. I appreciate that. Okay. One thing people would be surprised to find out about you.
I'm kind of embarrassed, but I love the water. I love the water. I want to retire on the beach. I love anywhere land meets the water. I love beaches, lakes. I have a pool. I can't swim.
What?
I'm not a strong swimmer at all. I insisted that my boys learn. They've had lessons. They're great swimmers. I am not. But it's on my 2021 goals. As soon as COVID restrictions are up and it's free to do so, I'm going to enroll myself in a swim class.
Good for you. Well, I have to tell you, I did take an adult swim class. Not because I didn't know how to swim, but I was training for triathlons, and I did take a swimming class, and it's not that bad. The thing, though, that amazes me is you aren't afraid of water, that you love water and so forth.
Oh, wow.
So that's incredible. You're going to be able to swim like nobody's business. Okay. So one thing everyone listening here today, this is another serious question, but I know I've asked you this before. One thing everyone listening here today can do to impact change on the topic of making our industry, the staffing and recruitment industry, a more diverse, a more equitable, and a more inclusive place?
So to me, I think it may be twofold. If you're a leader in your organization and you have some type of managerial role or some influence, you should really make a plan to dive in and understand what your numbers are in your organization and find a way to impact and make a difference and make necessary changes if you have that influence. If you're not a leader, there's still so much you can do. Be curious, because if everyone would get a little bit more curious about one another and start to talk to each other and understand each other's perspectives, a lot of these things that we worry about in regards to inclusion will just melt away. The world is changing. Our industry is changing. We're not going back to what it used to be. So we all have to find a way to make a difference. And it can be simple things like that. Just get to know people. Yeah. You'll be amazed at what happens.
Well, Delibra, thank you so much for joining us. We mentioned Goals with Delibra to follow you on Instagram and Facebook and everywhere you are. If someone wanted to reach out to you directly, what's the best way?
Oh, the best way is you can message me on Instagram with Goals with Delibra, or look me up on LinkedIn, Delibra Wesley on LinkedIn, and I always respond to all of my messages. And I also have a page, Goals with Delibra, on Facebook. So any of those avenues
Excellent.
Will work.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was such a pleasure having you on the Edge podcast, and we look forward to catching up again soon.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Leslie. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to The Edge. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to it in iTunes. Feel free to email Leslie at lvickery@clearedgemarketing.com and let us know if you have questions, would like to be a guest or suggest a potential guest, or share topics you'd like to see in the future.